This interview highlight package is brought to you by Sowetan Live.
Welcome back to South Africa, Monique.
Thank you. So good to be back. This is home for me. I feel like I'm around the corner from my house.
Right. Is it safe to say that SA is your second home?
It is. I spent more time here than anywhere. Definitely. Yeah. For sure.
And what is it that you love the most about South Africa?
There's a lot of things. I mean, just being a Black person and from the West to come to Africa and be embraced, to come and see the beauty, the talent, and to get embraced by that it's magical. Mm. It's difficult to even put into words, but I've been here now long enough to, I have no illusions. I have family and friends here now. Mm. And it really, it does feel like home. I don't know if you've ever experienced being in another place or another country and feeling so comfortable.
No, I have. I have.
Amazing. Yeah.
What's your favorite place in South Africa?
That's kind of difficult to describe. I spend, the majority of time in Jersey, and I am a New York girl. So I can kind of feel like, Outhegg and Johannesburg are kind of like the New York of South Africa. So I feel comfortable here. There's a half train. There's like kind of the subway. So I get into my normal groove. You could walk to different places, but I've played so many different places.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say a favorite, but I will say this. Soweto never disappoints. I did a gig there not this past weekend, the weekend before, and just the energy. That's the first time I've ever played there. It's just off the chain. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So Joburg is a lot busier than Cape Town or Durban or PE, I get what you mean when you say it's similar to New York.
Yeah, as close, I think, as I could get. And I am just used to that.
Yeah.
Just an urban, concrete kind of girl.
Yeah. But our chat is more about celebrating the years that you've accumulated in over decades in the music industry. Can you take us back on a trip down memory lane? What moments would you say, or tracks that still make you smile when you think about them, that are from your catalog?
They're like my children. So I can't pick, just one, but I know there are definitely moments when I'm saying we had a thing for the first time at Cape Town Jazz Fest in 2011, and heard the crowd singing back. I had no idea for years that I had any presence in South Africa, much less that I had a hit here. I didn't know. This was before the internet. In 1998 is when that record came out. We had a thing, and so when I landed was when I really felt it. I was like, wow, it's an amazing thing to have your music travel to places without you and really push your presence in spaces and you're not there, and then to find out that you were the whole time is beautiful. It's what art and music, that's the magical part of it. That's what it does.
Yeah. Do you remember where you were when you realized that my music actually traveled way before I got to visit these places, such as South Africa? Do you remember that moment? Or that time that it happened?
Yeah, I mean, in South Africa, it was in Cape Town in 2011. One of the very first times was 2003. And yeah, I think it was 2003 in Tokyo, where they didn't really speak English and they were singing every single word back perfectly. We had a thing. That record really broke me in a whole bunch of different spaces. And that was another moment, too.
Yeah.
I couldn't even communicate with the crowd, just having conversations afterwards. But they were singing every single word back. So that was dope.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, fans still can't get enough of your classics. I'm a fan as well. And two of my favorite tracks are Take Me to My Love and Deep in the Bottom. Do you ever?
Deep in the Bottom.
Yeah, I love it. Of Africa. Do you ever imagine? Hey,
that was my love letter to South Africa.
Oh wow! I was actually about to say, did you ever imagine that these songs would have that kind of staying power, especially in Africa? And now that you say it was a love letter to South Africa, and it still resonates to so many of us in South Africa, how does that make you feel? over a decade later.
This year is 10 years, and it came out yesterday. When I performed that song in so many places, especially here, obviously, but around the world, people embrace that record. And I mean, there's so many ambassadors to this music and the talent and the country. Coffee has just been all over the world and exploding everywhere, and taking the song and the message all around the world. So it's been pretty incredible, especially 10 years to have that kind of staying power at my age in this industry is really a blessing.
And speaking about like 10 years, you are doing something right now. You have been working and cooking up a new EP.
We're almost. Yeah. We're going to tie up all the business ends and stuff. So we don't have the exact release date yet, but I've got all the players on board assembled, a very lovely package of remixers and talent, including two incredible women. And that's very important to me to have two Black women on the remix side, because, you know, we don't just write songs and sing. We do everything. And especially now, South African women and DJs and producers have gotten a lot of global shine, which is so much fun to, like, watch happen. They're, like, some of the most exciting people coming out of the country. Mm. And we were very lucky for this remix project to grab Devin Gogo, who is just tearing it up. She's amazing. And Ted Dry, who is also just, I mean, these women aren't just great when they're behind the desk, but behind the scenes, like planning and producing and just really powerhouses. So very, very happy that I was able to
get
them on board.
And I like the fact that you have, like I was saying, cooking and remixing your classics. What made you say, let me actually breathe life into these songs, especially now reeling in Durban Gogo and all the other women behind the scenes? Why did you see the need to breathe new life into these songs, your classics?
Well, when there's, you hit a milestone, 10 years, and looking at what's happened in the last 10 years, really, since 2015, with the global South African music scene and the young producers, the newbies coming up, and the energy, to me, the song was still relevant, the lyrics, everything. So why not take this and give it to the new generation and let them see what they can come up with and reinvent it and reimagine. So that was the idea.
Yeah, and in you doing that, you are literally spotlighting female talent, especially on the global front, considering how Africa is now, everyone is watching Africa. Africa is literally the main character.
This is where all the new energy is coming from. And I've been sitting by waiting, like wondering, as soon as I got here, I'm like, what? that's the first line of So Deep in the Bottom. Brace yourself, because you're going to need time to wrap your mind around all this. Because as a Black American coming here at that time, back in 2011, and I was like, how does the world not know about all of these artists and all this? It's finally exploding. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And how important is it to team up with, like you mentioning Devin Gogo, who she's quite young and fresh in the industry. You are quite legendary and you're known, you're a veteran in the music space. That is a power duo to me. I haven't heard the song and I haven't heard the remix, but I believe.
You haven't heard the interpretation yet.
Yeah, I believe you guys have maybe produced one of the best powerful songs that could ever be remade. Why is it so important to team up with women? Why was it specifically?
Hey, I mean, if we don't reach out to each other, nobody's going to do it. This is the male-dominated industry for a reason. They're not going to just all of a sudden say, hey, let's just flood the whole thing with women. So whenever you possibly can, and it's right, and it's authentic, and feasible, do it. That's it. That's all we got to do to change that.
Yeah. And you're also known for your passion for mentoring and empowering women. What would you say were the key lessons or key traits that you in a way imparted to the woman that you were working with on your EP, on your new EP?
To be honest, I mean, we didn't really communicate personally in that way. I think a little bit. Danny and I were in a little more contact, but I think they just appreciate it. It's just like any, we're in business.
Uh-huh.
And it's not just, you know, this sister thing. That is real. But in the end, this is also about business. Doing business with women makes sense, not just, you know, it's not just this romantic, you know, sort of emotional thing. It makes good sense to do business with each other for a host of reasons, and not just because they're talented, but because of the way that we work. And a little less glossing and bullshit, you know? It's just like, let's get down and do what we have to do. As well as, I'll say this, Tandy had an event, Afro Queens of Dance, a couple of weekends ago, and Boosie was on it. The Mugogo also played. I didn't catch up with her, though. We missed each other. But she had, like, massages. Like, after we got off stage, she had so much massage us. There was, like, you know, tea. And just, like, this whole space for us to just chill after performances. I'm like, you know what? This is, whenever I do an event where women and other promoters put it together, they always do something special like that. They treat each other with a little more respect, maybe. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So it was beautiful.
And also softness. Like, women are soft, guys. I love it when I'm treated in a soft manner, you know?
Yes, yes.
We work so hard.
Boosie was getting her feet massaged, and I'm getting my neck massaged, and we look at each other like, oh, like this is exactly how it should be after every day.
So listening to your new remixes, like you're saying, you've been working on it. It must feel like a blast from the past with a twist. What emotions would you say hit you when you hear the remixes now?
I mean, I feel like I'm kind of a part now of what is happening, because the new music that I'm making is not piano. It's not three-step. It's not like about that. I love and appreciate the energy of that, but that's not the kind of music that I made or I'm making. So to hear it reinterpreted and have it just flow so easy as though it was meant to be, you know, on these tracks was beautiful. You know, also there are other remixes. Sir LSG did a mix that is heartbreaking, soulful, beautiful. So there's a lot on this package. I think it puts my voice and my work, or our work, in a new context, and that's beautiful.
And I like that. Monique, when you look past everything that you've accumulated or accomplished, what would you say have been your highlights? I mean, you've traveled the world, you've performed on so many stages, especially in South Africa. What would you say have been your highlights?
Traveling the world. And by far, the greatest gift that music has ever given me is just a ticket around the world. And to meet people from all the world, have friends from all over the world, true friends. That's one of the greatest gifts that it's ever given me.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And speaking about traveling the world, what do you hope your music teaches or inspires the next generation of artists or fans?
Gosh, in that context, to just be as fearless as you can be, which I don't think I got to tell anybody that this new generation would not give a F about anything. They are fearless. And I think in the face of the way things seem to be turning, and so many governments and societies turning like to the right and trying to stifle people's voices. They gotta hang on to that. That don't give up, get attitude, and just keep saying what you want to say.
Yeah. And looking back, what are you most grateful of? Looking back at your career specifically.
To be able to be an artist, to make music and earn a living. You know, I'm not like some billionaire or anything. I'm a person who is earning their living by doing what they love. That's a win.
Yeah.
That's all there is.
Out of, because I believe that we have a flow. I don't know why, but this question is just in my head. Would you say you will find some point in the future where you live in South Africa fully, like full time? Do you ever have any interest in that?
I've definitely thought about that.
Okay. Where would we live? Where would you buy? Seeing that you know you're familiar with South Africa now.
I think of a house in Durham.
I know.
All the dreams would be to have some place, in Cape Town, and a place in Durham, and a place here. That's the dream. But. But I definitely thought about that too. I thought about it a lot more recently too. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And your take, what is your take with the recent amount of artists and even current artists, because we never really had that as South Africans, but now Travis Scott was here, Summer Walker was here, Chris Brown was here, Babyface is coming back. Like, it's Americans. How does that make you feel? Because you being here.
It's beautiful. Exactly. I'm like, where y'all been? Like, you know. But I love to see bridges being built throughout the diaspora. It's been too late. I mean, not too late, sorry. Too long that we haven't had that. And it's, I think they're just waking up. Everybody's seeing what I saw when I first got here. Because everybody has a way. I mean, see, let's be real. It has a way of breaking your heart and making you fall in love all the same day. You know what I'm saying? That's what I was talking about. That, like, brace yourself, because that's what it's going to do to you. I had that experience, but it's just something beautiful. Also, we come from a place of Americans are saying we're in the minority. To come and just be. You know, like some cool, like she said, yama, and everybody's just smoking good. And just kind of groove to the music. And it's like, oh, beautiful black people everywhere. It's just that right there will make you be like, shit, I just want to stay here.
Yeah.
Like, forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel you on that. Lastly.
We don't get that like that.
For real, because we have, I feel, South Africa has all the facets you can think of when it comes to a human being's, I don't know, fun, or you get the fun ones, you get the bougie ones, you get the, you know, very unfortunate ones, and South Africa just has it all, you know, it depends where you go. And lastly, if you could send one fun, heartfelt message to your fans as they stream your new EP when it drops, when it finally drops, what would it be?
Just gratitude. Thank you so much for keeping me, you know, in your hearts, in your minds, in your, you know, in your bodies as you dance. It's an honor to create art and have people accept it. So, and it's for the South. So.
That's
what I would say. Thank you.
Yeah, and we thank you, Monique. In essence, what I'm gathering is that you were one of the first people to fall in love with South Africa, first musicians to fall in love with South Africa and work with South African talent when it wasn't popular. And for that, we literally hold you up there as one of the pinnacle musicians to really feel for South Africa the way you did in your music as well. So we appreciate you for that.
Thank you so much, Sean. Thank you.
Thank you, Minnie.
For more, head on over to iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can also follow us on all our social media platforms at Sowetan Live.